You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water, pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 27th day of March 2024. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight, we have that inspiring young radio personality as our producer, Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And then, of course, we have the Missouri legend, the Parson Joe Larson.
How come you're always so nice to Style?
I don't know. I mean, you're a legend. I haven't made him a legend yet.
Not yet. Okay. So I'm just glad to be here. We're having fun this week, but hopefully we'll get to business here.
If you don't behave yourself, I'll make you stay in Missouri.
Oh, okay. That'll be a crime, yeah.
We're going to go someplace different, to North Carolina, where, like a rose between the thorns here tonight, we have the all-natural medicine marm, Miss Wendy Wilson.
Oh, good evening, pastors. I hope you're doing well.
We are. Glad to have you aboard.
Yep, absolutely. We miss you when you're not here, Wendy.
Aw, aren't you sweet?
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, I gotta say this tomorrow. We're going to be having prayer tomorrow morning for all the folks that support us, and I want to thank them all. Today, we were shorthanded, so I had to call in some extra volunteers out there. And when I got there, the phones were just messages filled with messages, so I started calling. Spent a good part of the day just returning phone calls, and I got to talk to some really good people, wonderful people out there, and from all over. I mean, from all different states, and I wanted, especially the ladies, Wendy. I talked to such sweet ladies out there today. So many of them. It's so good to talk to Christian ladies after. What you see out there today, what's taking place. But anyhow, I want you folks to know that tomorrow morning we're going to be gathering, all of you folks, to send us those nice cards and letters and support us. We'll be praying for you. Every envelope that comes in, we pray for every one. And so, anyhow, and that's why another good reason for you to get our newsletter, because in the newsletter it's got the donation envelopes and you'll get our prayer. We'll be praying for you because we believe in prayer. We really do. And so we're going to... Oh, by the way, I got to say that this Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, there will be just a morning service, no afternoon or evening service, just a morning service. We believe that Resurrection Sunday is a day that after we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, then the family should spend together over family dinners and fellowship. And so, you know, we're different than the others. Most of the other churches around only have one service, and then on Resurrection Sunday they have two. And we do it just the opposite. But anyhow, that's how us Baptists are, I guess.
Yeah, we're a strange bunch, but I love the sunrise service we have. It's wonderful getting up and rising with the sun and worshiping the Lord as you see his day approaching, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we got to get started in our scripture tonight. We're going to pick it up where we left off. Joe, you remember? Hey, I know. Let's ask. Hey, the title of the message, Wendy, was Hosanna. Do you know what that word Hosanna means?
What does it mean?
Should we tell her, Joe?
We should probably tell her, yeah. We don't like secrets. Save us,
now. Save us now is what it means. And so we're going to start in Matthew 26, verse 26. And so, Joe, let's take it a verse at a time through 30. Okay.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body."
Now, did you know this, that this was the very first of 12 references in the New Testament to the breaking of bread? And do you know what the last one is one that's one of the most read, and especially Sunday, it'll be all over the country. And that'll be 1 Corinthians 11:23, and, all the entire passage there where it refers to the Lord's table in 1 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 23. So here he goes on to say, "We take ye, this is my body." Now, there are those that teach that he was that taking the Lord's transubstantiation, that the body really gets literally the wafer turns to actual flesh. But, Joe, how do we know that's not true?
Because, one thing, Scripture says the life is in the blood, and we are not to eat blood, so he wouldn't transform it into raw flesh.
Would God ever violate, Wendy, would God ever violate his own law?
No.
No, not likely, is it? Okay.
No.
Read verse 2, Joe.
27, and took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it.
For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So we know that that, too, is symbolic, right?
Symbolic, right.
Now, let me ask you this. In verse 29, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth this fruit of this vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Now, was that wine or was that grape juice?
Fruit of the vine.
Let me ask you this. They used leaven to ferment the fruit juice to make it wine. Would there be any leaven be allowed?
No, it would be Passover. No, there would not be any leaven allowed.
So it has to be what? Is there?
It has to be just grape juice because wine would have been fermented in with leaven.
In fact, it's very interesting, Joe, because you'll notice something here. The word wine is never used in the Lord's
Supper yeah.
Three times. You find that in here. You find it in Mark 14:25. Also in Luke 22:18, huh?
And the Bible is very specific. Fruit of the vine. And usually in the other case, in the Old Testament, when it means wine, like when he turned the water into wine at the wedding feast, it clearly stated wine, not, fruit of the vine.
You're absolutely right. Let's go on to verse 30.
"And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives."
Okay,
This is the first time I remember a hymn.
Well, no. It's not the first time of him. There's a couple places, but this is the first time Jesus, the only time Jesus was mentioned as singing.
Yeah.
The only time the Lord Jesus was mentioned. Do you know what that hymn was, Joe?
No, I don't.
Well, I think I do because most Bible scholars think it was Psalms 115 through 118. Hmm. Okay, and if you go to 115, it goes something like, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. That's kind of how they sang it, huh?
They're more of a chant.
Yeah. Probably better than I just did, huh?
No comment.
Would you want to give it a try, Joe?
No, I okay. would not give chanting a try. No.
What do you think, Wendy?
I think we should read verse 31.
She's smarter than she looks.
She is smart. Yeah, she is smart.
Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad.
Boy, was that the verse several times in the scripture, especially over in Zechariah 13, verse 7. And that's referring to just prior to the nation of Israel, how two-thirds of them, you know, are not going to be saved. How one-third are the true remnant, and they'll call upon the name of the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But, and so here, now, let me ask you this, because here again, he's saying this, and this was the second time, Joe, this is the second time he said this to him, but it hasn't registered. It's still, how do you account for that?
They seem to have almost a block about the 3 days, and I will rise again, and the Lord must be in the ground 3 days, three nights. It's almost like God was blocking them from understanding.
Do we know people that are that way? I know some people that can really block out if they don't want to hear something, if it's not something, they can completely and totally block it out. And they didn't want to hear that he was going to be crucified, for first of all, because he was their Lord, and they were counting on him to overthrow the Roman government.
Right.
And so they just didn't want to hear it, did they?
Well, they'd also, volunteered their lives to search with him, to travel with him, preach and teach. And, this was just getting started, let alone ending.
Then he says, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee.
After I am risen, that's pretty clear. risen from what? You don't see them asking questions.
Right.
You got a good point, because they don't seem to, like, Lord, what do you mean risen, you know? You or I would think that would be the obvious question. If you were confused, I'd say, wait a minute, what do you mean by you are risen, you know?
I hear you. Then he says, I just went to a coughing jack. I don't know what caused that. But anyhow, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. But do you think Peter... At that
Doesn't
time,
it mean made to, offended there, made to stumble. Isn't that what it means?
No, actually, it means to be kind of ashamed of.
Oh, okay. So okay. Not a stumble, but ashamed. Okay,
right.
I had that translation wrong.
And so he's referring to an act of kind of like an act of. Well, I guess ashamed of would be it. Did you ever notice how people, there are some professing Christians, and yet when somebody starts making a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ or God's Word, the Bible, they'll just remain silent. They won't say anything.
Right, right. They don't want to cause any problems.
So what?
Attention to themselves or anything.
So Jesus said that those that are ashamed of him before men, He'll be ashamed of them
before the Father.
Absolutely. And so, what are they supposed to do? He tells you that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you should do what? Rebuke,
Reprove and refute doesn't work, rebuke is the stronger form.
All right, absolutely. And so, and then Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Let me ask you something. Now they have seen, they've been with him, right?
Right.
And they have seen every single thing that he has said, told them, come to pass. They've witnessed all this. I mean, things that nobody else would ever believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when he tells them that verily I say unto thee this night before the cock crow, you should deny me thrice. And they all said, Not I. Yeah.
Well, in their hearts, I can see that thinking like a soldier. No, I'm not going to run at battle. I won't. I will follow my leader. I will follow orders. But what happened that night when Jesus told him to just kind of stand down and let me be taken? All of a sudden, what do you mean? Just stop, you know, to me as a soldier, be like, well, standing there in front of the enemy, all of a sudden, don't fight, just put your weapons down, stand there. It would just take all the courage you had. So the courage that they would have had, I think they, you know, several of them probably would have fought and died that night if Jesus had, you know, let them fight. But just to stand there and let everything happen, it just took all the wind out of their sails. It took their courage. It confused them. And I can really see from a human standpoint how that could happen to them.
Right, because what he was about to do is so far beyond their ability.
Right, to comprehend and understand.
Right. And so then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray here yonder. I've been to that garden. That is a beautiful, beautiful garden. And, you know, you can't help if you go in there and just sitting in there, there was this, just a peace comes upon you. It's unbelievable. I don't know. It's a feeling that's really hard to explain. You have to experience
it. One of those things, you have to be there. You have to experience it.
Yeah. It was really something, and there's olive trees in there that are over 1,000 years old.
Wow.
And you know, the tree grows on the outside instead of, you know how the tree grows from the inside and the bark on the outside, you know, falls off. This is different. The tree keeps growing on the outside over the inner, but it's amazing. And then he says, and he took them with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Can you imagine this? Now think, let's ask Wendy because she's smart. Hey, Wendy.
Hey.
Try to comprehend. He understands that he's going to have the sins of the world, past, present, and future, laid upon him. The sins of the world, past, present, and future, laid upon him. Now, he's in a body that has no sin in it, okay? And so he is going to be hanging on a cross, knowing this, that he will have, and it's far beyond your comprehension to try to even begin to understand, the sins of the world, past, present, and future. And when the Father looks upon him, what must a holy God do when he looks upon sin?
He has to look away.
Well, he had to look away because when he looked upon the sin, he inflicted pain. That was pain inflicted upon the Lord, huh? Mm. So for an instance, what did he do? He had to look away, huh?
Yeah.
Why did he do that? Why did he make him go to hang upon that cross, a substitutionary death for us anyhow?
There has to be a sacrifice for sin, a blood sacrifice.
Yeah, but why was it the Lord Jesus that had to do that?
Because it had to be from someone who had no sin, spot,
sort of like when you sacrifice an unspotted, you know, animal.
So he was the only qualifier in existence, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Let's go. Let's move on. Go ahead, Joe. Read verse 38.
Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He's going through probably the most agonizing time of his physical life, in a way. There, the fear of what's coming, understanding the clear, you know, okay, I am now going to go through all this. It's really happening after 30 years of living, you know, 33 years. Yeah, and I call some of my closest friends, be with me during this time.
If now, in verse 39, if we read Psalm 16, if we could go to that, I was interested because it brings me to mind Psalm 16. And in Psalm 16, I think it's verse 5, we read this, and the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. And then it goes on to say, if I can get the page turned, the lions are fallen unto me in the pleasant places. Yes, I have a goodly heritage, an inheritance. So the Lord Jesus is going to, after this, the Father's promise is what he's referring to. Is first he drinks the cup of the bitter cup, and then he receives.
You said Psalm 116?
No, Psalm, yeah, Psalm 116. Verse starting, actually, if you read songs, start with verse 4.
Then called I upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord.
No. I'm saying, so I did I say 116? I meant,
yeah,
Psalm 16.
That's what I was confused.
Psalm 16. Psalm
16. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. I thought I'm not following here and something isn't right.
No.
Psalm 16.
Start with verse 4. Read verse 4 and 5.
Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips.
Now read
the Lord,
yeah,
is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot.
So those sins of those people were going to be placed upon him. That's what he's referring to there.
Through there.
Yep, and so... Anyhow, so he goes on to say in verse 40, go ahead.
Verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch,
you know,
and pray that,
yeah,
you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
What was Peter going to be tempted to do?
Well, he was going to
deny him.
Deny
that's,
him, yeah.
That's exactly right. He was going to be tempted to deny him. Okay, and he went away again in the second time, and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Boy, that was, he was obedient unto death. And he came and he found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy, and they left them. And he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, be going. Behold, he is at hand and doth pray, doth betray me. We're going to hear a message from President Trump. We'll be right back.
My very good friend Lee Greenwood, who doesn't love his song God Bless the USA, in connection with promoting the God Bless the USA Bible. This Bible is the King James Version and also includes our founding father documents, yes, the Constitution, which I'm fighting for every single day very hard to keep Americans protected. Also, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance are all part of this God Bless the USA Bible, and it's just very important and very important to me. I want to have a lot of people have it. You have to have it for your heart, for your soul. Many of you have never read them and don't know the liberties and rights you have as Americans and how you are being threatened to lose those rights. It's happening all the time. It's a very sad thing that's going on in our country, but we're going to get it turned around. Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country, and I truly believe that we need to bring them back, and we have to bring them back fast. I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. That's why our country is going haywire. We've lost religion in our country. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book. This Bible is a reminder that the biggest thing we have to bring back America and to make America great again is our religion. Religion is so important. It's so missing, but it's going to come back, and it's going to come back strong, just like our country is going to come back strong. In the end, we do not answer to bureaucrats in Washington. We answer to God in heaven. Christians are under siege. We must protect content that is pro-God. We love God, and we have to protect anything that is pro-God. We must defend God in the public square and not allow the media or the left-wing groups to silence, censor, or discriminate against us. We have to bring Christianity back into our lives and back into what will be again a great nation. Our founding fathers did a tremendous thing when they built America on Judeo-Christian values. Now that foundation is under attack, perhaps as never before. What can we do? Stand up, speak out, and pray that God will bless America again. I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again. Pray, get educated, get motivated, and stand with me and the legions of Americans asking God to bless our great nation, to bring our great nation back, and to make America great again. I'm proud to partner with Lee in this offering. He's a very special man, both as a talent, but maybe even more so as a human being. He's very, very special. And I think you all should get a copy of God Bless the USA Bible now and help spread our Christian values with others. There you have it. Let's make America pray again. God bless you, and God bless the USA.
All righty, we are back. Now, we have been watching President Trump grow in the faith. Wendy and Joe, have you guys noticed that he is growing in his faith?
Yes, definitely. He's come a long, long way from the Donald Trump that was the TV show host, you know.
Yeah, well, at one time he was a Democrat. Okay,
yeah,
so
one time he was even one of them, yeah.
Okay, so you definitely feel, they can definitely see the Lord's anointing upon him. Now, but there's one thing, you see, that as he continues to grow in his faith, that I think we will see, and this is what we watch for. Now, let me say this is the reason, okay. Even the Antichrist comes. Remember, Barack Obama is professing that he believes in God. But remember, their God is different than ours. Some of their God is the God of this world. Others, you know, more and more Democrats are choosing Satanism. They're literally turning more and more to Satanism today, especially Joe Obama Biden. And even the Pope. He has been making some very antichrist statements, okay. But when he gets to Donald Trump, as he continues, we should hear him do something like this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, many, many people, and even the Antichrist, will mention God. But the Bible says that those that refer to Jesus as the Son of God, okay, will be saved, right?
Right. There is a big difference between the word God, because they make it a little g type thing in their mind.
Well, when it's spelled with
a... The devil doesn't mind, like, you know, putting the capital on God, you know, it's still meaning little g.
Well, the small case, when it's small case g, that literally means a judge. That's what it is. It means a judge, yeah. And so with that, Wendy Wilson, let us have it, young lady.
As far as the health topic, is that what you mean?
Yeah,
of course.
Well, we got a couple of choices. We can talk about making brain tissue. We can talk about the body's most important organ. Or we can talk about message framing, virtual versus video.
Go ahead, Joe. I'll let you choose it.
Well, message framing, because that is one of the big things that I think a lot of people still haven't understood, how the left is the expert at message framing, and through omission and, you know, small lies, omitting facts. So that to me is a big topic.
Oh, yes. Who said half the truth is still a whole lie?
Yeah, exactly.
Benjamin Franklin. Okay, well, we'll talk about that. So if you are new to the term message framing, it refers to how a message is framed and delivered to the masses. So in March 2024, Penn State did some research, which delivery method was better to communicate climate change issues. So in the last 100 years, a lot of psychology has gone into marketing research, and marketing can manipulate, deceive, use half-truths, evoke certain responses from the target audience. So in a lot of instances, it is a way of propagandizing your target. The Oxford Dictionary states, it is persuasive mass communication that filters and frames the issue in a way that strongly favors a particular interest. So, and that's what we have. So this is the research from Penn. They compared virtual reality to video messaging, and they measured which would evoke fear with regard to climate change. So fear is a real strong motivator, and if you want people to listen to you, often fear is an ingredient that's used. An example is the fear of supposedly the unknown. The COVID virus was a good tactic. It worked. It restrained millions of people to obey the global agenda. So fear is a motivator. And Penn says virtual reality may prove a better choice in evoking fear to spur on climate change action. So the research team also used different messages in both messaging methods, video and virtual reality. They were depicting climate change to motivate people to support this agenda. They were using things like the expanding deserts and the dying coral reefs as their message. So according to their report, the virtual reality method delivered a better impact, and we're offering this research. They're offering the research to advocacy groups to help them out. So the research did get published in the March 2024 Journal of Science Communication, and the researchers used pretty much a desktop virtual reality that was easily run on Google Earth, a computer, or even a mobile device, and they clearly confirmed the messages that conveyed fear were the most powerful and the most effective. So here's what the Penn State researchers said. The messages that transitioned the target from a positive to a negative on climate change to emphasize the loss were the most convincing and effective regarding environmental policy when delivered by virtual reality media. Now, the flip side to this is they found that when they delivered the message by standard video media, the response was in favor of a climate change when they started with a hope-filled message regarding the negative elements of climate change and then transitioned to a positive outcome. Now, this is one of the professors, or two of the professors, Simon Sundar and James Kermiro. They're professors at Media Effects, Penn State. They say, our findings of this study is that in terms of seeking support for climate change policies, it is the combination of the medium that's used and the message that will determine the most effective solution for promoting a particular advocacy message. They go on to say consumers are much more emotionally vulnerable and more likely to be influenced by virtual reality presentation, especially if the message focuses on a loss. So they created this illusion. So with regard to your virtual reality media, they showed healthy and unhealthy coral, and they accomplished this by using light and dark ambient lighting along with upbeat and happy or sad audio music. Now, the research did report, they stated the reason they selected coral reefs to depict their climate change message was, one, coral is an endangered species, and two, it is far removed from people's daily life experiences. So according to Wildlife in the Balance, it's a outfit, they said most people would not know what healthy coral reefs look like and that the reefs are resilient to climate change. So what coral doesn't like is tropical storms, which make it difficult for the reef to rebuild even over a 50-year time period. So they know you're going to be probably a bit naive when it comes to what coral reefs should look like, and that way they can manipulate that. So Wildlife in the Balance also said the increasing regularity of intensity of cyclones has seen many glorious reef systems decline. Pollution, they said, is also detrimental to the food that coral needs, but it has survived over thousands of years with temperature changes. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, that life in the ocean changes in different places. Mm-hmm. Where there were coral reefs, there aren't now, and they're growing in new areas that they didn't exist before.
Well, you know, perhaps we should maybe ask how the coral survived the ice age when the woolly mammoths walked around.
Yeah.
And so why the deception when it comes to using coral to argue a climate change agenda? So Penn State research actually answered this. They said this is Professor Mengai Liao in the Mass Communications Division. He says, it is hard to communicate environmental issues to non-scientists because the consequences are usually long-term and not easily foreseeable. So, yeah, so for the average layman person who's not a scientist, you know, it's hard for them to communicate things. So it's really a nice way of saying the public is not educated when it comes to science and the environment, and therefore whatever we make up, it will be believed. So the recommendation and the actions of governments to reduce or remove, let's say, cattle, chicken, pork industries in order to control climate change is just as misleading as the coral story. So animals and the planet have survived for thousands of years in harmony together, and the researchers would not use animal food industries as an example because the loss would reveal, no more human animal foods. That message wouldn't get behind that. I can't have my hamburger and fries. So, but showing damaged coral after a hurricane might, yeah.
It's kind of like they showed the lone little polar bear on a small block of ice floating out in the ocean, and there's no sea ice, and the polar bears have no place to hunt, and it was a totally perfectly normal picture of a polar bear on a little ice floe.
Yeah.
Floating out
by the way, they can swim for
hundreds of miles. You know, that's nothing for them.
Yeah, so like half the truth is still, you know,
right,
a lie.
Total lie, yeah, exactly.
Well, and then there's this, they also talked about this low cognitive barrier in the research.
And the music, when you said the music, if everybody stops and thinks, like, remember the movie Jaws?
Right.
When the shark is coming up, that music, that dun 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 dun. The music made it
more terrifying.
What made that scene terrifying? Yeah, if it had been just silent, I don't think people would have been near as terrified as they were with that music, that impending doom. So what these people are doing is using every art of theater to create not only their narrative but their illusion instead of just teaching facts, which the time they don't have.
Right.
I mean,
there's no facts supporting them, so they
use emotion.
You see, when that music was playing, that was the perfect time to sneak up behind your son.
No.
Yeah.
Well, getting back, we're almost done with this topic, but cognitive barrier, according to the research at Penn, they said people with low cognitive barriers often gravitate to the virtual reality form of media. They said this includes the following people: those with attention deficit issues, the elderly, the illiterate, and children. They went on to say, not only is virtual reality an attention-grabbing media, it also is called the empathy machine. It helps to generate better empathy for the message being presented. It is more effective at arousing emotions such as fear rather than hope. So this suggests that your basic instinct of fear is more easily communicated rather than trying to get the audience to reason a message regarding the consequences of action or the inaction. So therefore, your political agendas, your virtual reality is going to be the media of choice.
Right.
Another quote from the people at Penn, they said, our study suggests that showing stark portrayals of environmental loss can be persuasive in spurring people into action to support climate change issues regardless of their pre-existing worldviews. So there's also the likelihood that your artificial intelligence will be also crafting a lot of this media marketing moving forward. So having the knowledge of big data at its disposal, it can easily manipulate market segments with various techniques. So,
well, you know, Wendy, Joe and I, we kind of tried to help him out last time. We played a clip of an expert on climate change.
Right?
Oh, yeah. He was giving testimony before the Senate. And,
Kennedy, that Senator Kennedy from Louisiana, and he just made this kid look like a total ignorant fool that had no business being there to testify. He didn't know anything except, well, we didn't have as much snow this year as we have last year. I mean, that was the only thing he could actually say. And
he was brought in as an expert witness, and Kennedy said, I'm just trying to figure out what it is you know. He said,
pretty much, I know how to ski.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, you know, it's really another, the media is being used as a form of brainwashing, as you know, and this is the new level of brainwashing with your, you know, virtual reality. So as long as people know the difference between the media deliveries and the messages and the techniques, then they could be on their guard and not be played. So this is why history can be so important, because if you take away the historical record, it's easier to control the future with, you know, fake news and things.
Exactly. Well, you go back to the Tavistock Institute, England, psychological warfare and stuff. A lot of this stuff that you're talking about sounds like it came out of there clear back in, what, the 50s?
Yeah.
You know,
40s, well, you know,
50s.
The field of medicine, it really isn't any different. You know, over the years, the allopathic area of medicine has attempted to disparage natural therapy. They don't improve anything. They say they won't improve your chances, only modern medicine. And they try to convince people that there's no other option.
Exactly.
And I tell people, well, have you investigated or tried the other options? You may be pleasantly surprised at the benefits and the level of wellness that you can achieve with the other options.
But again, the key is emotion. What they're doing is they, instead of using your intellect, using knowledge, using common sense, what is it that the left is pushing then? Always is your emotion. That's
they
hit, right?
Yeah. Fear is going to be your most, you know, effective.
Masters of deception.
Well, I mean, and just like that link you sent me, you know, with the ladies now figuring out, you know, the birth control medicines don't make them feel as well as they could. And they're sharing that, and this is now a big problem.
Yeah, the Washington Post and TikTok are all upset because these women are telling the truth. Well, I guess the story basically was a lot of women during COVID weren't having sex. They quit taking their birth control pills, and all of a sudden they felt healthier, happier. All of a sudden they started dawning on people that, wait a minute, these pills made us not very good. It caused mental problems. One of them called fog, in a hormonal fog. And
yeah.
the world is trying to kick the Post and TikTok are kicking these women off because they don't want them testifying. You don't need the FDA-approved pills. You can do birth control. Well, there's a natural way, a safe way, and well, there's God's way, but they don't go into that. But abstain until you're married, you know, but nobody wants to hear that one nowadays. But still, the idea, again, they go with the fear, they go with the emotion, and when that doesn't work, what do? They omit. They lie by omission.
You remember a couple of years ago when they came up with this bright idea of birth control pills for men, but then somebody figured out that men don't get pregnant, okay? I mean, I knew that, all right. But
the thing about the birth controls, you're on the third generation birth control pill, and with each successive, you know, generation of this pill, women are at higher risk of blood clots, and this is a fact. And science even warns you about them on the packaging. So it's really a concern. A lot of women will you know get strokes and embolisms and all kinds of things taking this product. I just think, you know, you got one area of your body you're trying to, you know, protect from pregnancy, but this drug is going all over your body, and people don't think of it that way. So well, this is why they have those side effects.
Two things there. One, I heard they were saying, one of the women was saying Big Pharma's doing everything they can because women are their big cash cow, get them on the birth control early, and they stay on it for long, long term, so it's a long, a good customer for many years. But this one doctor was saying, you know, but when these women are ready to have a family, now all of a sudden they're the ones paying for these very expensive fertility treatments because they've been on this birth control for so long.
It can be a problem. Yeah, I mean, there's an imbalance in the system, and now you're asking the body to function as normal, and it takes a little bit. Sometimes, you know, some women can't snap out of it, I guess, metabolically.
Yeah, that's what I had read into it. Some women just don't recover from the years of suppression. The body just adapts to that, and then that's it. It's not going to go into fertility mode.
Well, last night we had Dr. Ingrid Skop here, and she had delivered, 5,000 babies?
And, a bunch of them, yeah. A bunch of little critters.
She was telling us how that a lot of those young women, that she, to her patients, one out of every 25 that took those pills, is that, what is it, misoprostin or what do you call it, mispriston or something, is one of the latest ones out. It's like the very same type of thing as the RU486 kill pill, but she said one out of 25. Now think about this. That's a lot. Okay, end up in the emergency room, not just in a hospital. Yeah, in the emergency room.
Four out of 100. That's you know, if it's your mother, your sister, your wife, that's a pretty big number.
Yeah. And,
well,
you know,
they also experimented with the tetanus vaccine. You knew about that? I hope you did. Anyway, this was, you know, back in the 80s, and they had experimented in Africa with the tetanus shot. They remember I tell you that they've gotten sophisticated with protein switches within these serums, and they can control metabolic functions. So they altered the tetanus shot to make the woman, her body, pretty much allergic to pregnancy. So the egg can get fertilized, but it can't attach to the side of the uterine wall and survive. And so the woman doesn't get pregnant, you know, and she doesn't even know she was pregnant, you know, because obviously the egg dies because it can't attach and get, you know, nutrition. And that is a sterilization drug that lasts on average 7 to 10 years.
Wow.
Whoa.
Whoa.
So, and I tell people, I said, haven't you noticed that your school systems, when the girls hit middle school, the parents will get this letter saying something to the effect of, you know, your daughter or your child is outside the bounds of their vaccination schedule, usually by a day or two, and that you have to take your child to your medical physician or to the health office to get tetanus shot. Your tetanus shot has to be updated, and you have to do it in 30 days, or your kid can't return to school. And it's only the girls that get this memo.
Oh, wow, interesting. Only the girls.
Only girls. And have you noticed teen pregnancy is way down?
Oh.
Hmm.
Huh.
Well, yeah, that's... Well, did you know that our guest last night made a statement that out of a million babies that are killed in this country every day, you have, or every year, one half of those, 500,000, are killed by the kill pill, and that's where they're going more and more to that, too. So.
Or they hate God's children, don't they?
They certainly do. They certainly hate God's children.
Wendy, one other thing I'd like to ask you. I saw where lately there all these women are Hollywood types are on this Ozempic pill. It wasn't designed for weight loss, but they found out it helps them lose weight. And there a lot of them are taking. Well, they say now people going into surgery, they're on this Ozempic or Wegovy, are at high risk for ending up choking to death. There's a word, aspiration pneumonia, that about 33% of the patients that are sedated were more likely to get this aspiration pneumonia, and it's killing about 60,000 Americans a year, and that is increasing as we speak because so many people are taking this. The Wegovy was supposed to be for diabetes type 2 and... severe obesity, and now these doctors are putting this stuff like Ozempic off their off-label for weight loss, and they're even saying it's getting almost addicting, and the women have trouble getting off of it once they've taken it for a long period of time. So sounds like another big danger to our mothers and sisters and daughters out there.
Sure.
Giant pharma again trying to harm the women of America.
But I've got to jump in because... Wendy, you know, we got to tell the folks how they can get your catalog, and they can call Apothecary.
They can definitely call us at Apothecary Herbs at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or they can visit us on our website at The Power Herbs, thepowerherbs.com. Also wanted to mention that people are so conditioned with the word side effect. What technically side effect means is a secondary disease, and the reason you know it's a disease is doctors can prescribe a drug treatment for that side effect symptom, and they can't prescribe unless it's a disease.
I didn't know that. Do you want to repeat that, because that just hit home?
Yeah, so a side effect is really a secondary disease, and in order for doctors to prescribe a treatment for something, it has to be clinically a disease. But you know, a lot of these rules are being thrown by the wayside. Now they want to prescribe medications for people that don't have, you know, high blood pressure and heart disease yet, or breast cancer yet. You know, they want to prescribe stuff for, you know, as a prevention, but you know, that's against the rules too. But of course, with
Wendy, you've got about 30 seconds, unless you want to hang on and come over after the break. We're coming up to a break.
I had an early day. I've got a good, but I've enjoyed every moment with you boys. I have.
All righty. Well, we appreciate having you here. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. Get her catalog or go to thepowerherbs.com. You're going to love this catalog. And in my epitaph, I'll say that when I'm past and gone, my goal was to make Wendy's catalog, have my picture right in that catalog. It's Wendy, God bless. We're out
of
here.
She doesn't want to scare off all the prospective customers.
Be right back with more. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.